Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's interview is with a pair of filmmakers I refer to as Team Chirp because they had an email called Team Chirp, but it is Miley Durbin and Gabe Moore, and the two of them wrote together, co-produced, and of course, Miley was the director of Chirp Buzz and Other Sensations. And if you were at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2018, you would have seen Chirp Buzz and Other Sensations. I believe it opened for a fantastic feature film called Chasing Sunshine, which we did a podcast about. So we're also doing a podcast about Team Chirp. But I always wanted to talk to the team that made Chirp Buzz and Other Sensations because it's a superbly wonderful short film. In fact, it won the Programmer's Prize at the 2018 Sherman Oaks Film Festival. And it is in Season 2, Episode 1 of the Discover Indie Film TV series that's on Amazon Prime Video. So if you want to watch Chirp Buzz and Other Sensations, just go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and check out Season 2, Episode 1. One side note is that Gabe did me the honors of flying in from out of town, in from Michigan, for this interview. And life got crazy. And this is actually a one-year-old interview. In fact, it's over a year ago that we recorded this, and I'm just releasing it now. All right, I think that's enough setup. Let's hear from Miley and Gabe.
I feel like, because I'm originally from Oklahoma, and I feel like I've always had an interest in, like, storytelling. Like, for a while, I wanted to, like, write books. I have a specific memory of, like, drawing pictures and stapling the piece of paper together to make a book before I could even know how to spell. And so I had to be the one showing my parents, being like, this is what happens. And like, I had to say it because I didn't even know how to write the words down. And then I think, I don't know, like making movies, it was something that, like, you know, every kid just kind of wants to grow up and be a teacher or like a firefighter or whatever. But I just kind of like never grew out of that.
Did you play with cameras and stuff? Or?
No, that was a thing. And that was a big disadvantage when I got to college. It was always something my dad said, like, because my parents have always been like super supportive, but it was something my dad had always said, like, you need to find a way to like get a camera in your hands. You just need to like shoot stuff. Right. And it just kind of never happened. But I wrote.
So you were expressing interest in film.
Right. Yeah. But I was writing a lot. I always loved writing. And then high school came around and it was like one of those media elective classes. And it was like, we played a lot with like Final Cut Pro and editing. And I was always the person who like, I wanted to edit for like our group. And I fell in love with editing there. But yeah, by the time I got to college, I was like, everyone has like way more experience than I do. I've never touched a camera. I'm still really bad with cameras, cinematography. That's just not my field at all. But I've always loved story and I love the feeling of, you know, being impacted visually through film. And so it was just always something that I thought, yeah, I want to do this. This is so cool. And I just never outgrew that.
And when you went into undergrad, you chose a film major right off the bat?
Yeah. I knew I wanted to do filmmaking like before I even hit high school. Like I think before it was kind of like, oh, like I want to write books and like this idea will be a movie, but this idea will be a book. And then like eighth grade, I was like, no, like I want to make movies. And so, yeah, senior year of high school and people were freaking out about their AP bio class. I was like, I'm going to film school. I don't need to take that. So I knew pretty early on, like, this is what I wanted to do. So
cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. And Gabe?
When I first started getting interested in film.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult to pinpoint parts of when the desire sparked because it's always a gradual thing of what you want to pursue. The earliest memory I can think of that involved any type of entertainment, not necessarily film, but a different medium. I was really interested in comics, but not like Marvel or graphic novels. It was more of the little comic strips of Peanuts or Calvin and Hobbes. And I wanted to be Charles Schulz. I got the chance in my sixth grade elementary class to be the cartoonist for my school newspaper. And that was the first time I got like the feeling that people liked my things because at lunchtime, people would come up to me and be like, this is hilarious. People I never even knew. And this is like the sixth grade had such an effect on me. And I wanted to be a cartoonist. And then naturally that led into, I wanted to do something with motion. And so I wanted to be an animator. And it wasn't until I got to high school where I still have such a love for animation, but there's just something so incredible about live action movies that, it was like, it was just a natural progression.
I'm sure it's been said to you that the cartoonist thing, that's storyboarding.
Yeah. Right?
I mean,
exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
And it's storytelling visually, which is leads right into film.
Yeah, and that's something that I was very interested in being in. Like, as a DP, I always want to storyboard my shots.
Mm-hmm. And normally you'd expect a director to do that.
Yeah, we did it together.
You
it was
did
like
it together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I was like, sure, it could be like this, and he just drew it, because he has such incredible... Like, everyone else had, like, stick figures for their, like, storyboards and super basic, but his look like actual, like, comic strips. He's got, like, the motion, like... whoosh, and like the facial expressions and everything. So
right, there's an artistic talent there.
It was fun watching him draw them, though. I was like,
you well, just so pop them so out. you go to the same college, mm-hmm. same year.
Yep.
And when did you meet?
I love this story. Can I tell it?
You can tell it. Yeah.
Okay, I love this story. So okay, so there was a class you take your sophomore year called Directing One, and that's sort of like your. Every week you're pumping out like a weekly project, and typically because you just need these done like every week, you just pull students, freshmen, senior, like anyone you can get to be on set. And since we were like the freshmen, the newbies, they would really, hey, come hold a, you know, a boom pole, come be an extra, whatever. And so we were both asked to be on this project. You were acting.
I'm an actor.
No. I don't think his secret ambition. I don't think I did anything. I think they were like, oh, just be on set just in case. I think I walked by the camera. I don't know. But at one point they had to do a lighting setup and the actress opposite of Gabe went to get water or whatever, like went to the bathroom. So they're like, hey, Miley, can you like sit in so we can fix lighting? And so I was like, I sat across from Gabe. I was like, hi, I'm Miley. And like, we just introduced ourselves and just made small talk. We found out it was in high school, right? We were both each in like production of High School Musical.
A high school production of High School
Musical.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And then when it was over, it was dark outside and we don't have a campus. So he was like, hey, do you want to walk back to our apartments together? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we just talked and I don't know, just kind of, we liked the same movies. We were interested in the same kind of thing. So
you had the same major.
Yes.
Yeah. I think what's so, I don't know, meeting Miley was such a moment in my life because the idea of going to film school, you have this idea of who you're going to meet. And Miley was like the embodiment of that. Like, oh, this is the kind of people that I want to be with. This is my tribe.
Right, right. And people who have seen the same films seen and have the same interests. And
yeah.
Yeah, because...
Like to a T.
Yeah, because I remember high school, I would like seek out... That's when I really got into like independent films and they don't screen those in Oklahoma, really. So I was... You know, just watching them by myself, like, no one really knew who they were. And then it's, like, to meet someone who had seen all of those. It was just like, whoa, that's so cool.
I guess I'll hear them in when you answer the four questions. But
yeah.
But so you were big, was it still Blockbuster? Or was Blockbuster gone by then? Where were you finding the films? Or was it online?
It was online.
I don't know if you can say it legally.
Well, yeah,
but,
okay,
I mean,
so yeah, I know it rhymes with... floral and
yeah,
whatever. So.
Exactly. But I mean...
But again, you didn't have access otherwise.
Exactly. And when I found what I loved, I went out and I like bought them and was like told everyone to buy them. So that's how I feel better about it.
That's cool.
So.
So she was the embodiment of the film school enthusiast, which I get. I totally get what you
Yeah.
Mean.
Yeah, it was.
And then
it was funny.
I assume
meeting
the
people.
School was small enough. There was no reason not to collaborate.
Oh yeah, I mean, you Yeah, you know everyone at school.
You know everyone too.
Yeah, actually, I haven't had you name the school yet.
The universal U.
Oh.
Not you, personally. Everyone at school knows each other, because it's that small.
Oh, yeah, it's very small.
Yeah, I haven't had you name it yet. Do you want to name the school?
Oh, yeah, John Paul the Great Catholic University.
In
Escondido, California, so it's near San Diego.
Right. So, how'd you end up in Southern California? For that school?
I always wanted, I was like, I'm going to go to school, USC, the best film school in the world. And then I was a horrible student high school year, and then senior year I was like, wow, I need a portfolio and to apply to USC by next Wednesday, and it's winter break, so I'm not applying to USC. And then, because I went to a Catholic high school, I was like, you know, I don't, like, want to pursue, like, theology or anything, but I love learning about theology and Catholicism, and it would be cool to, like, still pursue that, but there's no, like, Catholic film school. And then my dad was like, hey, did you know about this Catholic film school in, like, SoCal? And I was like, oh, I guess I'll apply. And then it all worked out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And actually, we know Oklahoma, but Gabe, I don't know where you grew up.
I'm from Michigan.
Michigan?
From Metro Detroit.
I won't mention. I got family there.
Oh, no
so
way.
So anyhow.
Nice. Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about me or my family. It's cool. So you both came from out of state.
Yes.
And ended up in outside of San Diego.
Yep.
In Escondido. Just so sounds like it was a great program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I was drawn to it.
Great.
Yeah. Because you had like a phone interview for it and they talked about being very like hands-on because a lot of schools you don't get equipment until like sophomore, junior year. And they're like, no, our philosophy is like, if you put, you know, T3Is in these little freshmen's hands, like they'll make this awful stuff, but like they'll get it out of their system faster. So then they can really start figuring out, okay, this is how I use this equipment. And then this is how I can be creative with it. And then this is my voice. And so it just excels like the skill and the talent.
Makes sense. And there's the hands-on stuff. And mm-hmm. then also you get in the film theory stuff in other classes.
Yep. Yeah, it was like a simultaneous thing.
Yeah.
So
nicely balanced.
Practical classes, theoretical classes.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And then they drove, like, the thesis projects of, like, it's like your capstone, and we want this to be something you submit to festivals to really get your...
Right, so they're introducing the festival idea
exactly.
right there.
Right, exactly.
So even from the beginning, it was like, this is all leading up to... your thesis project.
Right, exactly.
Interesting.
So that's where I was drawn to it.
All right, so first collaboration?
Like with each other?
Yeah, with each other. Or
did we have one?
This is
or, I mean, were you were already making your own shorts that first year, making your,
yeah,
grabbing a DSLR? And
it was hard because I feel like you kind of get a different group. It's kind of whoever you can find, really. Like, sometimes you have to turn in something personally from you, and other times you get assigned groups. Like, I don't know if it was...
We were really great friends throughout college, and we were always fans of each other's works. We were so excited to show each other our projects.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing was we had never worked together on a project until Chirp.
Yeah,
really?
So
Chirp was the first collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah? You're right. Mm-hmm. I just thought of that now.
Well, go ahead. Tell me how that came together.
You can tell that story.
So from the beginning of the program at JP, it's like, this is leading up to your thesis project. What's funny is that a bunch of the students had like projects that were like their dream projects they were going to make. And they're being prepared through this 3-year program to make. Miley and I did not have a project like in mind. What it was like it's based on the quarter system of the school. And the quarter before, we had to pitch to the professors and faculty a project. She had just made this super bomb short that the professor still swears by. Is like, he is proud to this day that he was able to witness that short in the room for the first time.
And she's rolling her eyes and making faces, so I get it.
Gabe overhypes me a lot of the time.
It's deserved. It's well-deserved.
You and the teacher both think very highly of that short.
And so the professor encouraged her, like, you better do it. Let's see what this is.
That is true. He did say that.
And so you approached me and were like, hypothetically, what do you think about doing a thesis project? And I was thinking, I guess I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself about that because I was like, oh, it's a ton of work. Like, I care about my GPA. you need to be part of a senior thesis to graduate. Not necessarily, like, there are only so many projects approved by the faculty. And
so you can have, like, a main part. Like, you don't have to, like, write or direct one. But it's, like, of the three or five that get chosen, you have to have, like, a significant part, like, role.
Right, a contribution to it.
Right. So you don't have to, like,
head it, but
you can be like, oh, this one looks cool. I will DP for this one. Or I'll edit for this one. Like, that's
right. Right. So they don't force, there's not a short film directed by every graduating.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. It's just there's.
Correct.
Groups of seniors are forced into these collaborations.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Because otherwise they can't get out.
Exactly.
Right, right. Yeah. 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 It has to be class credit or else that you can't have a crew.
Right. Exactly.
And you figure team up with Miley and you'll keep that straight A average.
Well, she was like, okay, we don't know what the short is yet. All direct, UDP, we write it together. And I was like, I don't know about the smiles. And she's like, come on, let's shake on it. And I was like, I don't know. I like, and she's like, because you're scared, that means that we have to do this.
Yeah, I know. I remember that because I felt scared too. Because before the short that he was talking about, I didn't do anything good. And I think I was so intimidated by the talented people in my class that I didn't try. Like, I didn't push myself. Because it's scary.
to be vulnerable.
But with, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it is. You are laying it out there in front of people you see every day.
Right, exactly. And so when, with my short, it like, everyone was watching it and everyone loved it. And they were like, you're so talented. And I'm like, I've done one good thing. Like, don't tell me that. Like, I don't know if I'm, like, I don't know. And I was just thinking, like, you know, if I don't do a thesis project, like, will I regret this? And I've came to the school because I wanted to do
it. That's how you pitched it to me.
I was also scared and I felt like, I don't know if I am good enough to do this, but, you know, here's to, you know, betting on that I won't regret this later. And so we shook on it and we're like, let's do it.
You shook on it and you didn't have even a kernel of an idea at that point.
No. What followed was, like, weeks of Gabe, like, whatever image, idea, like, even if it's dumb, like, you text me and we'll text each other and, like, we'll try to find something.
Right, like a nonstop pitch meeting between the two of you.
Yeah, and it was just anything. And then it something will stick.
Only got more complicated because then I was doing the L.A. quarter. I was up in L.A., she was still back in Escondido. And almost through the entire writing process, we were not in the same room.
Yeah.
Really?
That was complicated.
All right, so who came up with who thought, okay, puberty film.
I was, because we had another idea that was like, it was cute, but it just kind of felt like a weekly project. It was, I don't think it was like something super special. I was taking a shower, as all great ideas appear.
That's true.
And like, because I was staying over at my roommate's, her family's house, and I was taking a shower, and something about, I don't know how it came to me, but it was like something about the idea of like someone having like the most human reaction to something and fearing God from it. Like, I was like, that's funny. And I was like, what would that be? And then I'm like, yeah, like arousal. That's hilarious because everyone goes through that. But like, you know, sometimes there can be this narrative constructed around it that like, oh, it's bad to just have those feelings. And so I was like, that's hilarious. And so I was like, Gabe, I have this idea. Like, what do you think?
And it was just like, it was like the opening joke. Like this girl at a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting and says she's a virgin.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, that's.
Right. So so the way you got to that arousal concept was a virgin at Sex Addicts Anonymous, which is quite cinematic too, right?
Right.
Like the, the group thing is we see in a lot of films. So.
Right. Yeah. It just felt funny because I'm like, if she takes this seriously, then that's where our comedy is.
And from there, you just pounded out the idea.
Yeah. Here's a character. What is her story?
Yeah. We had so many, it was complicated because it was like, it inspired so many side ideas and then it became like, what do we want? Like the theme to be what, cause I felt like there were so many things you could pull from it. And yeah, it was just kind of a process of like writing ideas, finding the best ones. And
there's a whole storyline about her parents being like, what are you doing at a Sex Addicts meeting?
Yeah,
right. Like the parents finding out.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. There were a lot of ideas that we were just like, okay, what do we sift through to find like what this is?
Right. But you're both writers, and you both have been into storytelling all your lives.
Right.
So congratulations. I'm going to kiss your ass a little and point out. I'll just point out that all the decisions when someone watches the film,
uh-huh.
I can tell that like all your decisions are good.
Thank you.
Know what
Thank
I mean?
You.
All the
Thank
story,
you
where you go with the story,
uh-huh.
where she goes, the fun you have with her. Even when there's gags, you know, everyone will have been urged to watch the film before listening to this. But, you know, the gag when she touches the hunk.
Yep.
And just, you know, and he's just a piece of meat. Like, that is really funny.
Yeah.
But it's quirky and believable and true to the story. So.
Thank you.
And when you told me the thing about the parents, I instantly thought, yeah, who needs to see that? Right?
Yeah,
like that would have been a tangent you didn't need.
Right, exactly.
So, and you actually have a wonderful, you know, sometimes shorts are just a little slice of life. Sometimes they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, less, more like one act with a punchline, but you really have three acts.
Yeah.
Like you introduce and then you have your middle and then boom, you hit us with the, climactic event at the ending, and then you know, three act structure you went for.
Mini movie.
Yeah.
A short film. Yeah, exactly.
So as you wrote it, were you really happy with where it ended up or how it was going? Was it fun process?
I would say it was nerve wracking because
that's true.
Because I feel like especially at film school, it's like you're always being told like this is how it's done. And so it's like even if you're confused about something, you can look either to your professors or like, oh, this filmmaker I like does this process. Everyone who co-writes is always in the same room. So I'm like, Gabe, how are we going to do this? Like long distance pretty much. And so it was just kind of like, I mean, the process was like super messy and we were trying to meet a deadline. It was just like, okay, here's like our beats. We'll each write our version of the script. No, it was we
traded beats.
Yeah, so it was
we divvied up beats.
Really, really?
Yeah. So it's like, I write this part, he'd write this part. And then we, like, squished it together in, like, the grossest script ever.
Right, awful. A Frankenstein of parts.
It was awful. And I think at that point, because, again, deadline was coming up, other filmmakers had their scripts ready since, like, sophomore year, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is going to work. Then we took our Frankenstein, and I did a rewrite, and then he did a rewrite, and we just kind of went back to those and was like, I like this, I think we should keep this, and it was just kind of like cleaning it up little by little. And then,
yeah. Was Frankenstein much longer?
I think so, because I remember having to cut it, yeah. Well, yeah, because it had scenes in it that we really
Right, so you cut out things, and you rewrote things, and took turns each handling it as a whole.
Yes, yeah.
Cool. And then you were like, hey, this is going to be good. Or when did you fall in love with it?
I think it was one of those things where the pressure of a deadline is just kind of like, I need to turn it in. And I think we had been with it for so long and we had been trying to be like, whose take, would be the best service to the story. Like it was just like the logistics of it. And you'd been with it for so long that it's like, I honestly don't know if this is good. And I think because we also knew, like, I wrote this and then she wrote that. Like, but does it work? Like, when you read it, would someone else know? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, does it read messy?
Right. So, and you were so in, mm-hmm. as an assignment, you got into just complete the assignment mode in a way?
I mean,
like you had to turn it in.
Yeah. I mean, I would say we were like, okay, we did finish it, but it was more of like, but is it like, does it feel like one script? Does it feel like coherent?
And then, of course, to be with it so long, the funny parts don't seem funny
anymore. Yeah, they're not funny anymore.
You just hear a joke over and over and over, and you're like, is this funny? Is this just weird?
Dumb, yeah. But then we sent it off, and I'm like, and I think I remember giving our professors in the email, like, an introduction of what the process was, and I'm like, so here it is. But they loved it, so.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so you got positive feedback right away.
Yep.
Yeah, so you weren't showing it to other people or friends or anyone along the way?
I feel like we...
We probably would have.
Were. Yeah, I mean, it's been through so many drafts, like...
Right.
At some point, they were... I think yeah, it was just having to turn it in. And I think our thing was, like, we could always rewrite it later. Oh, yeah. But we just had
so to at that it. Point, it was just staff up and shoot it, or?
Oh, no. It was, like, no. another quarter of just of pre-production. Mm-hmm. An actual class was every week you'd meet with the professor overseeing the thesis projects. And this, like, 2.5 hour class, he would spend 30 minutes with each group. Going over the script, going over production, going over casting, like making sure we got all the things done.
Did you right, go to LA casting cast? Locations, yeah. mm-hmm. all that, all the pre stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, mm-hmm. cool. Was that fun?
Yeah,
it was very fun. We got to know our professor very well. You already know him pretty well, but I got to know him as like her colleague.
Yeah, it was great because he was very much like he wanted us to like do it ourselves, but he was very much like he was there for guidance.
It's just funny. I think I'm projecting, but because the film is so delightful, I think the block you were in at Sherman Oaks Film Festival last year was called Delightful and Charming.
Yeah.
You know, so I just assumed that the process of making it was yeah. really positive and yeah. happy for that to,
I would say
to show.
I would say so. I think the only, like every set has hiccups, but I think because our plan, because you technically get a whole quarter for production, but what people tended to do was they would just keep doing pre-production for another 10 weeks, and then like the break between the two quarters they would film it. And knowing I was gonna be
the head editor
of it, like the final say in the edit, I was like, I want more time for post-production, so we are gonna film this like first thing production quarter. And so that shortened our pre-production. And so I think the 2-3 weeks leading up to it, we were just running around and trying to get things and make calls and confirm locations, and like it was crazy. So that was stressful, but yeah.
But you had each other, because besides DP, yeah. you were basically production team,
yeah.
right?
Like yeah, like we did like, all yeah.
Which is probably an advantage to have two people to throw their efforts at everything. Yes.
Definitely, we can lift each other up.
Yeah.
Right. It was also like I didn't. It was like every creative choice that was made, it was like there was someone else to like either bounce it off of or affirm it, like, yeah, I like that, or like, oh, like what if it was like this, or so there was never like an uncertainty because it was like it's yeah, just we, very collaborative.
I think that's so valuable. I know it for more than like, oh my god, for almost like 19 years I've been involved with a screenwriting competition,
mm-hmm.
and I've always noticed that like a very small percentage have two names on that title page yet they're like half the winners. You know what I mean? I think having someone to bounce things off of is right. something that a lot of people, I mean, I know that writing and directing is a lot of people think it's a solo thing,
mm-hmm.
and it is, but when you have someone to collaborate with, I think it just makes everyone improve.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We keep each other accountable. We keep each other mm-hmm. inspired.
Yeah, I agree.
It's cool. Great. So you push production early.
Yes.
Because you had obviously had enough experience in editing to know that how important that is.
Because I just remember seeing the other seniors from other classes, you know, trying to color grade like 2 hours before it was due. Again, I'm like, I don't want to do that. And our team was strong enough that I was like, we can do this. We had an amazing team of producers who were just always supportive. You know, you always hear it like horror stories of like producers and directors like butting heads, but ours were always like, how can we help this? How can we get your cool ideas and, you know, see them through? So that was always nice. So I had a lot of confidence in our team and
your cast was great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cast was amazing. Cast was great.
And were they all, I know, were they both fellow students, the two leads?
No, so,
Because she wasn't, but he was,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yes.
I remember that from the Q&A.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was nice to have you, it was nice to have your whole team up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Everyone just had such a fun time on set.
Right.
There's great morale, and that's important to me, so I'm happy that it, like, production was...
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Morale on set was really special because everyone was so happy to making something that they were all excited about.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're in the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and everyone shows up. Like, that always tells me something. Right, you know, right. Because, like, when a DP doesn't care about coming or lead actors right. don't care about coming to a festival, I always think, wow, why are you here alone?
Yeah, right.
What did you do to everybody?
Yeah.
Which, I take that back for all the directors who came to the festival alone. I'm sure you're a really nice person.
Yeah, it was just... It was a lot of fun. And I think something we did that I'm glad we did was all of our department heads. I told my producers, I'm like, let's have the department heads choose who they want working under them. Because typically it's like, oh, this, you know, this person can do this or whatever. And it's just kind of like they're seen as not as important jobs. But then it's like if they either don't know what they're doing or they're bad to work with, that's not going to make for a good.
Right. Like you at the top would have chosen everyone and a lot of projects, but you said, no, I want, so you chose your heads right. and then you told them yes. to staff up with yes. people they trusted and they liked working with.
Right. Because as we said before, like the department heads were, they were all seniors because they were like mm-hmm. primary roles. And then we told them, you know, I mean, you've been here for 3 years, you've worked in this position a lot. Who do you know can do this well? Who do you like working with? And we'll ask them to come on. And so it just helped the morale and the teamwork, and people trusted each other and knew what they were doing. It was great. So that was like a small decision. I was like, I'm really happy we did that. So
it was a really smooth set all intents and purposes.
Cool. And then, so you're editing and how did it feel in that process? Or was it are you under like time constraints because of school?
No, I remember, after we filmed, we were so far ahead in post-production. I remember because I had to stay at school to help with filming for the break before that. I didn't get to go home. So I was like, I'm just going to miss first week of classes and I'm just going to fly home and you guys can show the professor our dailies. I'm just going to take the week off. Which was nice. But, yeah, I had two students, working with like the rough cut. And they did a lot of the heavy lifting. I would say all of like the creative editing decisions were by me. But they did a lot of the rough cut. They did the next pass on it. They mixed sound. So it was a good process. And again, I chose them. So it was like, I could trust them with it. It was great.
Cool. So, and how long did it take? Like in,
like the whole entire process?
Or post. Sounds like with the longest part, the writing.
I think the shortest part was production.
Yeah, it was
definitely. Yeah, production's always the shortest. Yeah.
Did he say like 12 weeks?
For post? Well, yeah, because there wasn't any pressure, so mm-hmm. I didn't feel like a need to do it. Like, oh, I have to get it done so I could like pace myself and just work with things. So,
yeah.
I mean, like it took long, but there was like room to breathe. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, we're so far behind.
We didn't finish first in terms of projects, but we definitely had more time to edit, which was nice.
Yeah.
We finished the same time everybody else did. They just had a shorter post-production period.
Yeah. Right. Because they shot while you were already editing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great too, because it's such a small school, it's not uncommon that students will be on multiple senior thesis projects. And I think one of our producers brought up that because we shot first, everyone was fresh. They weren't burnt out from like filming all these. And so we also had that to our advantage.
That is probably a very real advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there were some intense productions for other thesis films. So.
Right. I assume you ended up helping other people's projects too. Yeah. Right. Not just yours.
It was nice because the directors for the other ones, they were actually in our circle of friends. So it was cool because we were like literally helping our friends and then they were on set for ours. This is great, which is weird because I think the year before there was this weird like tension competition, even though why? Like you guys were showing them at the same screening. Like it's not that big of a deal. But ours, it was very much like helping each other out. You know, one person would be like, oh, I had this like really cool fundraising idea. I wanted to share it with you guys, like that kind of thing. We were on set for others' projects, so it was great. It was a good, like, you know, the community aspect of filmmaking, I think, was really demonstrated. Yeah, that
you may never get again.
Yeah, exactly.
But so you complete it and mm-hmm. and you're all done, and is the first person who sees it a professor, or you show it in your apartment for a bunch of friends, or
like officially?
Once your picture, sound, color, everything's all done.
The final edit.
Yeah.
Well,
probably seen the screen.
Yeah. Like we had to submit it. Well, because like we would watch through it for like, what did we miss? Because it's finals week and we're all sleep deprived. So it's like our producers be like, here, there's something wrong with this. Like,
that's funny. So you're turning in this senior thesis project while you're taking other finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I can almost remember taking finals. That's not chill.
No. I think I had to go to work too. It was crazy. It was awful. But
I assume is a professor the first one to actually see it? It goes into that professor that ran things, or do they just show them?
Well, they probably have to test it at a theater. I played in an IMAX theater from Regal Cinema.
Oh, cool! They rent that out for then showed the five films.
Yeah,
yep. It was really cool. But I mean, our professor who was like mentoring us, he like sees the edit each week, so he'd pretty much seen it because it's like as the pieces were coming together. He just saw it through the process.
Right. So, the whole way. Yeah. I get it. Just like he took you through pre-production, he took you through post.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, he'd seen it. And like our core team would watch it for like notes and stuff. But yeah.
And I remember, I'll just throw this in. I remember talking about a little of the Q&A last year that, I mean, you did make a film about arousal and puberty and at a Catholic school.
Yeah.
With that didn't raise any cackles, I forget what it is.
I don't think, not as much as I was worried it would.
You were a little worried.
I think what it was like, because our school has this mission statement, Impact Culture for Christ, and I feel like a lot of students take that and feel like they need to make serious movies about important things that need to be addressed, and then you end up with like the same five movies about drugs or depression or suicide, and like this is bad, and it's like, yeah, we know. And so I was just like, no one does anything funny. I was like, I want to be funny. And so I don't know, because I knew in my mind it was one of those things where it's like, okay, if you actually read it or see it, like whatever, I knew it wasn't going to be an issue, but it's like that initial pitch, or it's those jokes, and it's like, I don't know. It's like a hard mix of like, you have these creatives at the school who everyone loved it. I don't think that was the issue. It was like everyone loved it. They thought it was funny. They resonated with it. But then you think about like all these parents that are going to be at the screening, and then you're like,
that was worrisome.
But then
aren't parents worrisome no matter what?
That's true. Yeah, that's exactly. True. So, I mean,
can't escape it.
It was that. But I mean, I think it was once we figured out how to like pitch it and like to where we got the core of the story without being like, well, like this girl is like this, but then she does this. But like, actually it's like, you know, it's like a ramble. It's like once we had a concise pitch, everyone was like, oh, that's great. Like, I love that idea. So I think initially we were a little, how are people going to take this? But I mean,
I was anxious until people actually saw the film.
And then you were anxious right up until the last minute.
Yeah. In the theater, I was hearing like parents reading the program. They're like, oh, what is this movie about? They're like the synopsis.
Really? So you heard the dismissal.
Yeah. Like immediately they know what this movie's about, but they think they do.
And yeah. They think they do.
They're allowed to be like, this is trash. But we won them over.
Oh, yeah. It was great. So
fantastic. And then you take it on the festival circuit like that, because that I assume that screening is at the end of the school year. Or?
Yes. Yeah, it's like the day before graduation.
Wow! So then you graduate.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Miley, what was the award? Every year there's one student from the school that gets the award.
It's
called,
like, there's like three awards they give out, but yeah, like this one was like
the
like
big one,
but like a best director kind of thing.
It's like a visionary artistic award, some pretentious title like that.
That they give at graduation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Miley won it.
Probably from your whole college career there, but this film obviously was a big
my thesis project, and that one final project I did junior year. But yeah, I guess it was enough to...
People saw your voice in it.
You know, if you made two great films over 4 years, that's better than most.
I should keep that as a reminder.
Plus you're 2 for 2. Come on, 2 for 2.
As of now. yeah.
All right. So then you go through graduation and congrats on your award.
Thank you.
And congrats on the award at, and then, so what you start, they, so the school encouraged people to apply to festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go about the festival run.
Yeah.
I assume you had a fun run.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we applied to a lot and we didn't get into a lot, but
it was our,
we were applying for a lot, so.
Our experience of getting on the high of everyone being so in love with the film at, like, the senior screening to getting all the rejections from the festival circuit that can be kind of self-defeating, but humbling to the idea of, like, am I a good filmmaker to myself, or do I need permission from the world to be a good filmmaker? So it was a growing experience. And so we were grateful to, because of that experience, we were grateful for every festival we got
mm-hmm.
in. The festival was like a gigantic moment for the film.
Wonderful. And I'm sure people have told you this, but every film gets more rejections than acceptances. I'll never understand, you know, why some films, you know, I sit back and I go, well, you know, well, everything we're going to like will have been shown like 17 times somewhere else. And sometimes we're like, no, you're the first that accepted mm-hmm. us. And I'm like, I don't understand anyone turning it down. Unless they're, you know, I guess some festivals are probably like 10 minutes or less is what they want from shorts. And yours is about 14, 15?
Something around there, yeah.
15 minutes, yeah. But it's quick, well-paced. So
thank you.
I know what their problem is.
No, I mean, I think it was because Gabe got it all through his email. So he was the one who had to physically see them.
So he would filter it for you.
Yeah, and I was just kind of like, I don't know. I think in my mind, I was just like, you know what? I'm proud of myself and I'm proud of the work we did and I don't want to change anything about it. Like, we could not get into a festival and I would be fine.
Right. So. And did you have a plaque in your living room for your Visionary Award?
It's in a box somewhere.
It's in a box.
Yeah. It's
just like
hang it up, shouldn't I?
You should.
But it's in a box somewhere.
I think most people don't hang them up, but
yeah.
So what have you done? So you have the festival. The run,
mm-hmm.
and I got to meet you in November
at
the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and have a wonderful time. And it was great to have you and your team.
Thank you.
And you guys won the Programmer's Prize, right?
We did, yeah.
There you go. That's the...
I wonder who the programmer was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the prize that allows me to, like, not, like, cheat.
Right, right,
all
exactly.
the votes. And I think I said, like, that was specifically because I knew because your film is funny and youthful and charming, it just, you know, I think people default to give awards to, like, the serious drama about something tragic.
Right.
Because we're kind of programmed that way.
Mm. Exactly.
And there's wonderful films about tragedy that, mm-hmm. that I think are wonderful. But, come on. like you said,
right.
You know, comedy is important too, and laughter,
yeah.
and you're actually telling an important story too. Yeah, you know, I could get on my little high horse about, you know, about you know, how important it is for people to be honest about arousal and what goes on as our bodies change.
Right. Yeah.
It's a pretty damn confusing time, and. You know,
no one's
teenagers,
about it.
teenagers, come on, people make fun of teenagers a lot. But
they
the truth is, they're going, like, they're dealing with, like, shifting from childhood to adulthood. That
sucks. It's weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun to tell the story, because it was, like, something I felt like everyone could relate to on some level, but because it was, like, the super exaggerated situation, it was funny and it was fun. I had a lot of fun with it. So that's all that matters to me at the end of the day.
And yeah, and I like what you did with the storytelling of having the woman from the
from
the class, like her being a kind, thoughtful adult.
Exactly.
She stood in for your parents, I guess. Yeah, she...
Right.
She...
Because sometimes, I mean, I feel like I'm the only person I know who got the talk from my parents that was a good one. Everyone else either didn't get it at all, got it when they were 19, or it was like an awful
I thought
talk.
I got given a book. Like, yeah, read a book. Yeah, read a book. And I'm like, yeah. Ooh, there's some breasts in this book. Like,
right,
that's all
yeah,
I cared
exactly,
about.
Right.
Yeah,
goodness. Right, yeah. So
what has gone on? Are you done with the festival run?
Yeah.
We just finished festival run.
Yeah. Just finished your last?
So we're about to release it online.
Yeah. We have, like, a whole social media, like, plan, like, build up, like, announcing. Because we've just been pretty quiet about it. But, yeah, we want to release it publicly online for people to see. And, like, little behind-the-scenes stuff that we didn't get to share. We want to, like, release those, too.
Oh,
so
cool. Those
will
be...
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have a... I remember that you have a cool website.
Yeah,
I think. We do have a cool website.
I looked at it a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
Still the same. Yeah, it's not been changed. Nice. It is. It's great.
I actually even like the email, Team Chirp. I always thought, like, Team Chirp is, like, a fun name for a...
it's what we are.
Team Chirp.
Yeah. Very unifying around the crew.
Hoorah.
Did you do shirts and hats?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of wearing my shirt, but I was like, that's really annoying, so I'm not going to do that. But, yeah, we had shirts. We actually gave everyone T-shirts on our team. I think we were the only project that did that. So it's cool. It's like people have graduated, gone back home. I'll see them in Snapchat. Just, you know, casual day, but they're wearing the shirt. And I'm like, oh, it's the Team Chirp shirt. It's great.
It's very good for morale, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question I'm always asking is, do you already have some new projects lined up? Are you thinking about stuff? Are you planning to collaborate again? Are you pounding out screenplays together?
Yeah, so I, because I had a lot going on since graduation, but I have moved to North Hollywood in February, so I'm just kind of settling
down. Welcome to the Valley.
Thank you. It's lovely. I was asked by a student who had just graduated this year. I was an acting student. She asked me to write and direct her acting practicum, which is the actor's showcase. It was basically their thesis project. And I was like, I don't know. And then my roommate was like, you need to do it. It's been like so long. Like, Chirp was the last thing I did. So I was like, you gotta do it. And so I did that. It just was completed like a couple weeks ago, and they got like their own little screening for it. And, it was supposed to be dark comedy. Don't know how dark it was, funny though. And people enjoyed it. So that's something I've done recently. Gabe and I are both writing with two other people, a narrative podcast, like a radio drama. So we've been doing that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
How many months now?
Since January.
Yeah.
It was like...
So it's telling a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a up north, like, mystery with sci-fi undertones.
And are you voicing it too, or...?
She's like, you could be, like, person number three on it. I don't know. She... one of our friends, it was really her brainchild, and it's, like, her passion project, and she's doing all the producing. She just brought on people to, like write it. And so there's four of us total that have been writing it, but she's heading the casting process. So,
and she wants to cast LA voice actors.
Okay, so you've been writing it all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's about to go into production
in October.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's what we've been doing. So that's been a lot of fun.
And it's called, the working title is Project Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Which also suggests that there are, like, five other projects of the science fiction, like, idea that goes on through the story. People pitch it, or she pitches it as Stranger Things with time travel.
Mm, yeah.
Oh.
So whatever this subject matter or project is, there's also been an Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta, and Epsilon. So something about Project Foxtrot went awry.
Yeah.
And DP over here, are you chasing down... Are you seeking camera work and stuff? Or?
I consider myself more primarily a writer.
Oh, writer. Okay.
I was very excited to DP for Chirp because I saw it so clearly in my head. I think because Miley and I have similar sensibilities of the type of visual filmmaking we like. Mm-hmm. We want to shoot for the edit. And so it was like, I loved writing with the idea of what this is going to look like. So.
Right, but you're not interested in DPing.
No.
So primarily writing?
That was like, it was a one-time thing, and I'm very glad I did it. Because I get a lot of compliments about it, and I like compliments. but I'm pursuing writing.
Excellent, cool. And are you still down in Escondido, or did you move? Did you make the trek up here too yet?
I lived in LA for about 6 months. I did a couple internships, and now I currently live back in Metro Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm just doing some editing work, and building up script work. And
so I managed to catch you on a visit to the...
No, this was a great excuse to come out and see everybody again.
Wow, fantastic.
He came out here to...
Wow, yeah. All right.
Because his thing was, he's like, I don't want to do the Skype thing. And then I was like, I felt weird, like, doing it without Gabe. So I was like, just come.
Call me crazy, but those two are talented. They're delightful. They're smart. I gotta say... Every time I meet this new generation of filmmakers, I end up feeling really great about the world because even if I'm getting old and my time is coming to an end, I feel like the world is in really good hands with this next generation. Call me an optimist. What are you going to do? All right, so Miley and Gabe made Chirp, Buzz, and Other Sensations, which I told you in the beginning you should watch on Amazon Prime Video. Just search for Discover Indie Film. And watch season 2, episode 1 of that TV series. But really, you should watch all 3 seasons. And maybe even watch season 4 that hopefully is going to come out next year. And in the intro, I also mentioned that Chirp, Buzz, and Other Sensations won awards at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2018. So let me tell you about the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. You can go to ShermanOaksFF.com or on the social media platforms. It's at ShermanOaksFF. I don't mean to brag, but that festival kicks ass and is rated in the top 100 festivals in the world. That puts it in like the top 1.5%. And I also program another film festival called Film Invasion LA, which happens every June. Sherman Oaks Film Festival happens every November. And Film Invasion LA is another great festival. And you can learn all about that if you go to filminvasionla.com or hit the social media platforms and look for @FilmInvasionLA. All right, no more rambling. Thanks for listening.